Amen. I tell you what, it's a sweet spirit.
Amen.
To think about just how good God's been to us. And just how I didn't deserve anything. And yet God desired a relationship with me. And that God wanted a relationship with you. He don't need our worship, but yet God wants our worship. Man, God's been good to us. If you have your Bibles, please stand. Continue to stand. And I would ask that you pray. Pray that God would open up His Word. And God would feed us with His Word. And that we would walk out of here changed. We'd walk out of here different. I'll confess to you right now, I can do nothing without Him. I can do nothing without Him. Pray with me as I pray, and let's give this to God. Let's give it all to God. Our Heavenly Father, I praise You, God, and I thank You for who You are. I praise You, God, for Your sweet spirit, Father. I sense it and I feel it, and I'm just thankful for it, Father. Lord, as we open up Your Word, God, speak truth into our lives. God, give us Your Word. Allow me to speak Your Word with power and authority You've given me, God. And I come to You, God, and ask for all forgiveness of my sins. I want to come before You clean, God, and I cannot be used by You unless I'm clean. God, forgive me of all my sins. And I humbly come to You and say, God, I cannot do this without You and that I need You, Father. Bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have quite a few different verses, and I will try my best to go slow so you can turn to them, but if not, just jot them down. I will go with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you turn to John chapter 19, verse 25 is where my mind began to think and ponder. In John chapter 19, verse 25. John chapter 19, verse 25. We talked a little bit on Wednesday about Mary Magdalene. And we talked about her encounter with the Lord and just how it changed her life, and how after she got an encounter with Christ, how she devoted her life to Him and served Him and wanted to be close to Him. And I began to look at different accounts of her in the Bible. And there was one in John chapter 19, verse 25, and it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." What took me by, that grabbed my attention, was now there stood by the cross. And I began to think what it was like for these three women to stand by the cross of Jesus. Then my mind began to run. What was it like whenever God was looking at Jesus, His only begotten Son, and seeing what was going on the cross? Then I began to think about the disciples, what they thought whenever they saw their friend, their companion, the one that they were serving with, and they saw Him on the cross. And I began to think about those people that were in the crowds and they were watching, some knowing this was an innocent man on the cross. And I begin to think, what was it like standing beneath that cross and seeing what was going on? Standing there and watching what was going on. And so today, I want our mind to go to standing by the cross. Standing by the cross, and we'll see what the cross does. We'll see different things that happens whenever you come to the cross and you see what happened and you put your faith and your trust in what happened at the cross. What I want your mind to go to today is I want you to understand what the cross of Calvary was. A lot of times we don't want to talk about what actually went on the cross and how gruesome it was and the agony and the pain that Jesus went through. You see, a lot of times we take the cross as just this little image. We wear it. We look at it. But to think about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, put on that cross for my sin and for your sin. And I want you to leave here today understanding the impact of the cross. And the first thing that I see that the cross produces is deliverance. The first thing the cross produces is salvation, is deliverance. And we look at several different accounts. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 1:18, we see Paul stating in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So we see that Paul was saying those people that are lost, they say the cross is foolish. But to us that are saved, we realize it is the power of God. Then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and what? And Him crucified." So we see that there is something, there's a big deal about the cross. We see that for those people that are lost and don't know Him as Savior, they say it's foolishness. But for us, child of God, we realize it's the power of God. And then Paul also states, he says, "I determined I don't know anything among you except this one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified." If we look at the account in Luke 23, if you turn to Luke 23, we'll see an account to where somebody was beside Jesus on the cross and his life was changed. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, it says this, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man," talking about Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So we see Paul stating about the power of God on the about the cross and about Christ being crucified. Then we see an account to where a man was beside Jesus on the cross and he looked at Jesus and he tells him, "Remember me. Remember me." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me." So we see the power, the deliverance. He understood, hey, we're on this cross and we should be on this cross. We deserve to be on this cross. But this man right here has done nothing wrong. And he turns to Jesus and he says, "Remember me." You had one guy saying, "Man, if you're the Son of God," ragging on him, talking, saying all these things. The other one said, "Hey, we deserve to be on here." He realized the power of the cross. He realized he was beside the cross in our salvation. Whenever we realize that we are lost, And without Christ, we cannot get back to God. And we realize the power of cross. So before you're saved, you come to the cross. And you're standing by the cross. Either you accept that cross or you deny that cross. Maybe today you've come to the cross. But you're not just ready to believe in that cross. I'm here to tell you the only way for you to be right in the eyes of God is to put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. Him being crucified on the cross, Him dying for our sins, and then God resurrecting Him 3 days later. That is the power. And that whenever you realize that, maybe today you're saying, well, I've heard about the cross. I've heard Sunday school lessons about the cross. I've heard preaching about the cross, but I'm just not sure. You've got a choice today if you're standing at it to believe on it or to be like that other malefactor and say, man, you know what? If you're the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, or you can be like the other one that says, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm separated. And I need you. There was power in that cross. So we see deliverance. We see salvation. And then we also see in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, we see in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, we see when the centurion saw Jesus, he makes a bold statement. He says in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, it says, and when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he had so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Do you see the power of that cross? Do you see the power of the cross? This centurion was there and he said, truly, this is the Son of God. What's amazing about the cross, and as I reflect on the cross, I'll be completely honest with you. Whenever I think about the cross, a lot of times I hold my head down. I think, man, my sins was what put him on the cross. Your sins was what put him on the cross. And when I think about the cross and I think about me, but then I go back to think that Jesus says that he counted it joy. That's somebody that's just always about the Father's business. You see, although Jesus, who was perfect, who was innocent, who had no wrongdoings, was put on the cross, he willingly encountered it all joy. And then on the cross, looking to that one malefactor and saving that one, man, that's a good father. That's a good savior. It was never about him. And so we see that the power of the cross produces or it yields deliverance. It delivers salvation. And then we also see that the cross, it produces remorse or regret. You see, in Luke chapter 23, we see in verses 27 and 28, it says, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus is saying, weep for yourselves. If this right here, the cross, could happen to someone who was doing good, just think what could happen to someone who wasn't doing good. He's saying, weep for yourselves. You see, Jesus was doing that Father's business. And although those women in that crowd were concerned about him, he said, hey, Don't you worry about me. He says, weep for yourselves. Don't worry about me. He says, weep for yourselves. His focus was on taking that cross, taking our sin, paying our debt. And all those women were crying over him and feeling sorry for him. He said, don't you feel sorry for me? I'm going on this cross. And the cross, whenever you see the cross and you feel the cross and you understand the cross, it should bring some sense of remorse. Some sense of regret for doing what you did to put Christ on the cross. But then also you should realize that Christ willingly went to the cross. He willingly died for you. Died for you. Everyone out here, he died for you.
Praise God.
And all those people that were going to reject him and that were going to put him on the cross, he was still doing the Father's business. So we see the cross produces deliverance. It produces salvation. It should produce remorse or regret for our actions. And then also, we see that whenever we have remorse and regret, we see that it'll humble ourselves. Understand that we're not perfect. And whenever we sin after we get saved, if we come back to Christ with a broken and contrite heart, as Psalms 51:17 says, if we come to Him, the Bible says, David said in Psalms 51:17, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. So whenever you experience the cross, and I would love to say that after you get saved, that you'll never sin again. That's not going to happen. We mess up. We talked about Wednesday. We've got baggage. We've got sin. We've got issue. But whenever we come back to God and say, God, I know what that cross was. I know what it meant. And I'm sorry for sinning against you. He says, if you come to Him with that broken, humble heart, He will not despise you. Child of God, have you slipped up? Have you messed up? David said that if you'll come to Him with a broken and humble heart, He won't despise you. When you understand that the cross, it forgave you of your sins, past, present, and future. But we should never be comfortable and okay with our sin. If we sin and we have no remorse and we have no regret and we have no sorrow, we might want to check up. If we can sin willingly and have no remorse and have no regret, then we might want to make sure that our relationship with Christ is right. Because as a child of God and understanding the cross and the sacrifice, whenever we sin, it should break our hearts knowing that we sinned against the holy and righteous God who made a way for me and you. But whenever we do mess up, we come to Him and say, man, Lord, this is Jason again. This is Jason again. I really messed up again. I'm sorry. I don't want to do it again. Please forgive me. Not just having regret because you got caught. Amen? Not just because you got caught in your sin, but because you sinned against the holy God. That's that remorse. That's that true remorse and regret for your sin. And we see that when it brings those, A lot of times, people who don't truly understand the cross sometimes, they'll say things like this. What if you get saved and then you go out and commit some terrible sin? Someone who thinks like that don't really understand someone who is standing beneath the cross. It's almost like having the mindset of, I'm going to sin. What if I do? Someone who comes to the cross realizes I am a sinner. I'm separated. Realizing that and then coming to Him, that's someone who understands standing beneath the cross and looking at it. Someone who says, man, well, I mean, what if I get saved and I keep sinning? Don't understand what happened on that cross. Do you know, as a child of God, that nothing, as a child of God, a born-again saved believer, nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That means when we're walking this life and we slip up and we stumble, you're still not separated. When you slip up and you fall and you get in the muck, you're still not separated. I don't know about you, but I know myself well enough to know that God should have thrown me away a long time ago. God should have kicked me to the curb a long time ago. But He didn't. Because of what? The finished work of the cross. And so now, when this holy and righteous God sees me, He sees Jesus and His righteousness. Praise God. Because we mess up, we slip up, we don't deserve it. But what? When we're standing beneath that cross and we realize that was finished work. He says, it is finished. And so when you grab a hold of the finished work of Calvary, nothing can separate you. Praise God. Man, I don't know about you. My mind goes back and remembers who I was, what I did 2 weeks ago, what I did a week ago, and thinking of all the times that I let my Father down. And yet, when I come to the cross and I put my faith in that, there was true deliverance. When I put my faith and my trust in Him. So we see the cross produces deliverance, salvation. It produces remorse or regret. It humbles us. But then also, the cross produces dedication. If you turn to Mark chapter 8, it produces dedication. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, and when He called, when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So we see that those that come to the cross and believe on the cross produces dedication. We see that Jesus is telling them, that if you're coming after me, deny yourself and take up your cross. We've all got a cross to carry, as you've heard before. He says to deny yourselves. Remember, Jesus Christ is told to be our example. That is an inward example and also an outward example. So if you look at the life of Jesus, he was always what? Doing the Father's will. So he says, if you come after me and you follow me, to deny yourself and to pick up your cross. That is a life of being in submission and dedicated to him. And so whenever we go in our mind and we're at the foot of the cross and we look at him and we think about the beatings, the mocking, the bloodshed, this gory picture of what our Savior did, when we come to him, picking up our cross shouldn't be that difficult. Knowing what he went through, there should be this mindset of being completely dedicated to him. He says, what's it going to profit you? It says in verse number 36, it says, for what shall it profit a man? All right. What gain is there in this? Okay. If someone shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We live in a day to where we want to accumulate stuff. We want to get stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, if God blesses you with stuff, praise God. But a lot of times we kind of want the cross, but we also kind of want what we want. Am I the only one that's kind of like that sometimes? I mean, we want to be saved, but we still want to kind of have our own things, our own ways. He says, what gain is it if you gain the entire world? He says, are you going to go up to heaven and say, God, here's my piggy bank that I've accumulated all this stuff. Lord, here's my social status. Can I exchange that? Can I? No. One of some of the saddest words are going to be when he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Those are tough words. He said, what's it going to gain? What profit is it to gain everything that you want? Can you exchange those things for salvation? No. Can I tell you something? I've seen it in my life, and I'm sure you have too. There was times in my life as a saved person, and I'm not bragging about this, I'm not, but I wanted what I wanted. I wanted it when I wanted it. I wanted to have what I wanted. And God became a every other Sunday to a monthly Sunday to a every 3 or 4 month Sunday. Or if the church was having a special singing or a Christmas play, I wanted to accumulate. And God began to be second in my life, even third, even fourth. And I began to accumulate stuff and things. And I was the most miserable person that I'd ever been. It never was enough. There was no peace in my life. Why? Because I had put God on the back. I was not dedicated to God anymore. And then you come across this scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. And I thought, hold on now. If I make this drastic turn, so the Bible's telling me that if I make this drastic turn, that God's going to provide everything I need. Can I tell you, God has been faithful? Amen. God has been faithful. Whenever I have leaned on Him, when I have dedicated to Him, I've seen God provide. I've seen God make ways. And I'm going to tell you right now, I remember like it was yesterday. We had our first kid, Braden. And I remember Sheena was out of work for about 6 months. And Braden, you know, had to have formula. And I remember this to this day, that I would be in the apartment we lived in, taking the last scoop of formula, the last scoop, and saying, I mean, we ain't got no money. And I remember seeing either Sheena's parents, my parents, come pulling up with a thing of formula. I remember these things. I've seen God work and play out in my life so many times. When you seek Him first. So whenever we come to the cross and realize the cross, there should be dedication. So we see deliverance. We see remorse or regret. We see dedication, and we see that Paul states it in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with who? With Christ. So if you're crucified with somebody, that means you're a part of it. That means you're with it. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. So we see this dedication. That when you stand beneath the cross, when you take your cross and you devote yourself to the Lord, you find yourself saying these things, Lord, take the reins of my life. Lord, not my will, but thine will. Whenever you begin to come to the cross and realize what He did and devote yourself to Him, you begin to say, God, it's not about me. Do you know this one thing? And this helped me out. Do you know that if it's truly all about Him and not about you, do you know that you'll never be offended? If it's not about you, how can you be offended? Right? It's not about us. If we truly devoted ourselves to Him, how can we get upset? Now, do we? Yeah. Trust me, I'm working on this too, guys. I'm working on this too. Okay? But if it's truly about Him, why am I upset? Why am I mad? Why am I offended? Because a lot of times it's not always about Him. Right? Sometimes we make it about us, and that's normal. Listen, you're talking about somebody right here who may be preaching up here, but I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to figure it out. But someone who is dedicated says these things, Lord, you take my life. Not my will, but your will. So we see that the cross produces dedication. And then we also see the cross also produces separation or detachment. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says this, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul was saying, man, God forbid that I should glory. The only thing I'm going to glory about is who? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, the cross produces a detachment or a separation from the world. And when I say world, I mean sinful, evil, wicked, worldly things. This is something we seem to not always want to talk about. It's a separation factor. Someone who has come to the cross, realize what took place on the cross, and realize who you are now in Christ, it should produce some separation or some detachment from this world. Do you know that? And I'm not super old, but I'm 38, right? But I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more I'm longing for the day to be in heaven. I mean, and I'm not super old. Not saying that you are, but I'm just saying. Don't get offended, it's not about you. But the more I see what's going on, and the more heartaches and the more heartbreaks you go through and the more nonsense, you're like, man, Lord, man, come back. Take me on home. Take me home. But we see that those that come to the cross and realize what the cross was, there should be some sort of separation. It's this turning your back to the world and the worldly things, not to the people. We should always reach people. But it's a turning away from the worldly things and turning to God. There should be some sort of detachment or separation. He tells us that if we love Him, what? We'll keep His commandments. If we love Him. So separation is huge. But those of us that have come and we realize and truly grasp what happened on the cross, we should be willing and wanting to dedicate ourselves in our separation. Now, this separation does not make us into someone who is better. Okay? Remember, a broken, contrite, humble heart. The Bible tells us that God will resist the proud. Okay? So it's not this proud, it's this saying, I am a child of God, a child of the King, and I will act accordingly. That's not too difficult, but it is, right? Right? We struggle with it. And so today, I want our mind to go at the cross and look and think about it. What He went through. What He did to allow us to have salvation. And so hopefully that next week, next month, whenever we're going to make those decisions, hey, how will this affect? Will God be pleased with that? Will God be pleased with that action? So we see that it produces separation or detachment from this world. And then we also, in this detachment, that a lot of times, and this is the best way, a lot of times people get saved at a young age and stay in church. It's the best way. It's the best way to do it. The only downfall sometimes to this is sometimes those people that get saved at a young age and stay in, you know, and they stay and grow up in church. The trouble is, a lot of times, there's this separation factor without suffering the consequences of sin. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you've been saved from a young age, and you've never really, quote-unquote, did all those horrible, nasty things that maybe other of us have done. I want you to still understand what the cross was. Never think, oh, I was saved at 8, 10, 12. I wasn't a criminal. I wasn't this too bad of a person. I want you to understand what the cross really was. Whether God saved you at 8 as a church kid who had been sitting on the pews, or whether God saved you out of a prison cell, or as Rahab, a harlot, wherever God saved you, it was the same grace. It was the same cross that died for all those sins. So whether you was raised and not being that bad, or whether you was just God awful, I was one of those. It was the same grace. It was the same blood that was shed. It was the same blood applied to your account.
Thank God.
And then sometimes this separation also, it produces sometimes this sort of separation without devotion, or a separation without this humble heart, and this separation almost becomes like this sort of weight or this sort of law that you're trying to follow, and it's not really true devotion. You should be devoted to God because of who God is. Not because you're made to, not because you're told to. You should do it because it pleases the Lord. But we as children of God understand it is the power of God. So we see the cross produces a lot of different things. So I want you to take your mind. What does the cross mean to you? Have you even thought about it? What does the cross mean to you? How do you view the cross? As a historical thing that happened? Is it something that you've came to but you've never put your faith in it? Or is it real to you? And my prayer is that we can lead the day to understand just what the cross of Christ is and what it was. We see all these different things that the cross produces. On that last one, the persecution. If you look at Mark chapter 15, they were telling Jesus to save thyself, come down from the cross. They were walking by him while he was on the cross, and they were railing on him in Mark chapter 15. Verse 29, it says, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said unto themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, and they that were crucified with him reviled him. So we see Jesus Christ being persecuted more on the cross. They're walking by there, wagging their heads, saying, hey, you could save other people, but you can't save yourself. Why don't you come on down from that cross? Man, people do the same thing today to Christians. They say, won't you just come on down from that Christian walk? Won't you just come on and throw that cross away? They persecuted him. Said, if you're the Son of God, You can save other people, but you can't even save yourself. They mocked him. They wagged their heads at him. And then we see, in closing, 2 Timothy 3:12. It says this, yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The world will mock you, but as the world is mocking you, God will be pleased. The world will come by and wag their heads at you. But this persecution is why a lot of us either choose or have chosen to not live a separated life. This persecution has caused a lot of us not to want to live that separated life, that devoted life. Nobody wants to be made fun of. Nobody wants to be mocked. And so what happens is it causes a lot of us Christians to not want to live that separated life because we don't want the persecution. But the Bible tells us that if we live godly, that we will suffer persecution. So today, I want to ask you, have you ever came to the cross and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? This man named Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Done nothing but please the Father, something we couldn't do. Then, this same man, Jesus, was put on a cross, was nailed to a cross, and was killed. But the Bible tells us that he willingly gave himself. No man took his life. He gave his life so you could have life eternally. It was his life for mine. He was nailed on a cross, sold for the price of a slave, put on the cross as a criminal, but yet was innocent. And he did it and made a sacrifice for me and for you. You see, his sacrifice was enough because 3 days later, God proved that he was satisfied with that sacrifice and resurrected our Lord and Savior. He resurrected our Lord and Savior and proved that sacrifice was enough. And he conquered death. He conquered the grave. And you today can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and walk away from here a saved individual in a right relationship with God. But it's through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you know that no matter what you've done or how bad you've been, do you know that his sacrifice is and was enough? All he wants you to do is put your faith and your trust in him. Now, child of God, I pray that as we go about our life and we go day to day, that we realize just what the cross of Calvary was. And what the cross of Calvary produces, it produces that salvation. It produces that dedication, that devotion. It produces that separation, that detachment. It produces all these things. Where are we at? Where am I at? If we'd all stand. You see, a lot of times we forget. We forget who we were before we got saved. We forget about how far God's brought us. And so today I hope your mind went back to just what Jesus did for you. And I hope the cross and the meaning of the cross produces those things in my life and in your life.